This is the Kratom Science Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Gallagher, blog and social media writer for KratomScience.com, your source for all things Kratom.
Nina Iden grew up in war-torn Bosnia before her family immigrated into the United States. She later contracted a skin disease called topical steroid withdrawal. Nina's story was featured on NPR, The Daily Mail, and KratomScience.com. In 2019, after years of illness that kept her homebound, Nina started a full-time job. She also testified to keep Kratom legal in Ohio and in her hometown of Naperville, Illinois. She plans on continuing her Kratom activism in 2020.
So how have you been?
Awesome, actually.
Cool.
Awesome.
I wish we recorded last time we talked, because that was a good conversation, but I didn't think you wanted to go over all the same stuff we talked about last time, so.
It was a really good conversation, yeah. But, I mean, I feel like a lot of people I kind of do know my story. I've kind of shared it a lot. Now I'm just kind of at this new period in my life where things are getting better, and maybe it's time to talk about that.
Tell us about your experience in Ohio.
That was kind of a really, almost like a last minute decision for me to go, to be honest. I was just kind of decided maybe I could take a road trip, and so I did, just to share my story and, you know, be there to support everyone. And it was about a 6-hour drive from where I live, so took the road trip down there, and it was really awesome to just see so many people get together for the cause. That was one of the most, you know, inspiring things about it, honestly. When we walked into a press conference right before, we actually went over to the hearing, and there was about, I think there was about like 300 people there, maybe 200, 300 maybe.
Yeah.
So it was really inspiring just to see everybody there in one room, you know, there for the same cause and the same thing. And for me, it was very healing and cathartic to actually go and speak my story for the first time in front of people like that. I've done podcasts and I've done articles and I've shared my story online, but it's a lot different when you actually get up there and you're looking those people in the eye and, you know, bearing your soul, and you don't know if they're going to give a crap or not.
Yeah.
But overall, it was a pretty amazing experience. I got to meet some awesome advocates that have been working really hard in Ohio, and I got to meet members of the AKA, like Dave Herman and Matt Haddo, and some representatives like Vernon Jones, Senator Bramble, and so it was really awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That was a good victory, too. It kind of seemed bleak in Ohio for a while, like they were just going to do whatever they wanted, and then now they have a Consumer Protection Act bill. So that was like a week before the Naperville hearing, wasn't it?
It was so funny how it actually all just kind of snowballed.
So that was like the Nina Kratom hearing summer tour.
Yeah, because it all kind of happened at the same time. I was supposed to start working full time right after I came back from Ohio. I mean, literally like 2 days after I came back. So I came back Friday, I remember, September 10th, I think it was. So I came back that day from Ohio exhausted, and then I was about to start work on the full-time work at the office from that Monday. And I think it was that Monday or Tuesday, I don't remember, was when it came out that Naperville was having a vote again. And I had already been involved in the Naperville thing for the past, you know, year since it first started. So I already kind of was knew that it was going to come up again because it was just on hold, but I was not expecting it to be like the day after I come back from Ohio, because it was just like one thing after another. And it was a crazy experience.
Was that kind of like a surprise hearing or something? Did they not announce it?
They did announce it, but it was kind of a matter of when I went to meet with legislators, when it was first introduced, they just kind of put it on hold and they didn't tell us, you know, how long that was going to be, how long it's going to be on hold. And I was in touch with some of the lawmakers all year, but they also don't know an exact time. So it just came out in the newspaper, I think it was, that it was coming back in the Chicago Tribune again. And it was about exactly a year since I had gone and met with them. So I think they just put it off exactly for a year. But they didn't try to like sneak it in or anything. Okay. At least, you know, it was in the Daily Herald, so pretty big.
They seem to be pretty reasonable, like watching the video. Most of the council people. Do you know what the motivations were for considering a ban on it in the first place there?
Most of the concern that I heard firsthand was mostly about kids and kids having access to it.
Yeah.
Even though Illinois is 18 and over statewide, there's still a concern whether, you know, 18-year-olds are too young, because, you know, when you're 18, you still have friends that are 16 or 15 that you could be buying it for. But when you're 21, it's a little bit different, and you're not really hanging out with 15, 16-year-olds, which is reasonable, and it makes sense. And Naperville was actually one of the first cities here to make nicotine and tobacco and everything over 21. So it just made sense for it to be 21 and over, because it's sold in smoke shops and, you know, but most of their concern really came just because somebody tried to open a shop in Naperville and the application was denied and the Liquor Commission brought it up to the city council for a vote.
Okay.
But the city council initially really, when I first met with them a year ago, they didn't really know anything about it. So it was brought to them by the Liquor Commission.
Well, that was cool. Like, that was a really good speech you did there. You had everybody stand up.
I wish that it was also, well, not for the podcast, but I wish that it was on camera when people actually stood up, because it was a really awesome moment.
Yeah, it was. It was
because
cool.
We didn't have everybody signed up to speak, and we weren't all wearing T-shirts, and there were just so many people in the room that we were kind of like, what are we supposed to do? So, you know, last minute, it was like, let's just have somebody, you know, say, everybody stand up that's in support of it.
Yeah.
And it worked out great.
Last year, this honorable city council made the wise decision of letting a federal or state agency pursue any kratom-related legislation. Since that decision, there has been no kratom-related legislation introduced on a federal or Illinois state level. We all respectfully request that the City Council's position on the matter remain unchanged and that the matter be handled on a state and or federal level. Please do not make me a criminal for a bar of soap, lotion, or tea. And I would just like to point out that I'm not here alone. And for those that are in support of Kratom, please stand up just to show that you're here in support. This is your constituents that are in support of Kratom that need your help and want your discussion and your help. Thank you very much for your opportunity to speak.
Thank you. Good seeing you again. Not this time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Maryville is another town in Illinois that's looking toward a ban pretty recently. And they're in southern Illinois. They're outside of St. Louis. And there was other towns outside of St. Louis, like in Missouri, on the Missouri side, trying to ban it. Yep. And it's around St. Louis. It starts coming up in the media, like all the scare stories. And I'm like, they're going to try to ban it pretty soon, right? And yeah, of course.
Well, in the past few months, we racked up to, I think, a total of 8 banned cities in Illinois now.
Oh, okay.
So it's a lot. So Illinois has kind of been burning down, locally speaking, down south, which is a huge issue right now. So Maryville was one of them, but they're definitely not the ones that kind of started the whole thing. It was started with Godfrey, but they all kind of follow those towns, all these little villages. They're all very small villages.
Yeah.
But so in the past couple of months, and I've actually been planning hopefully a trip in January to go educate some of these lawmakers, but it's basically been a domino effect down south, and starting with Godfrey, and then Glen Carbon is another big one, and all the other villages kind of followed them, so Maryville did end up banning it. But there's several things going down there that are concerning. So it's not just, you know, it's not like it's one thing where you can pinpoint, and it doesn't really seem to just be, you know, some coordinated thing, because there seems to actually legitimately be some issues with some vendors down there and stuff like that.
So, oh, okay. I didn't realize that. Like local vendors and...
Yeah, there's a specific smoke shop down there that is potentially causing problems. There, somebody, I believe, got sick or something in Godfrey, which this smoke shop owns. They own about 6 smoke shops right around that area. And the reason that a couple of these cities banned was because that smoke shop did apply there to open a store. And I guess somebody got sick, and I don't know if they ended up in the hospital or what happened, but that's kind of how the concern started, I believe.
Okay.
I mean, that is an issue because as a community and obviously as an advocate, we want to separate ourselves from that, and we don't.
Yeah, definitely.
Support that kind of thing. So,
yeah, I mean, that's the problem in the first place is the adulterated stuff, and you know, anybody can put anything in it and say it's kratom.
I mean, it's a supplement, so there does have to. I'm a full supporter of some regulation, like you know, having GMP standards. So there is. You can't just, you know, sit in a kitchen and bag up kratom and give it to people. It's not safe. And of course, it's going to cause problems. And of course, it makes the community look bad. And of course, it scares lawmakers because they don't know what it is. So they hear, you know, kratom is causing issues and they don't know what it is. They don't even, especially these small villages down there, they don't even want to take the time to look into it, especially if there's no people opposing it, which there really wasn't because there's such small villages.
Yeah.
So they just kind of put it on their agenda and they just say, let's just get this off our streets and that's it.
And I mean, it's a lot of it is why would they disbelieve, you know, what the FDA is saying? It's hard. It's a hard issue to understand if you haven't read into it, especially with all the media reports and stuff like that are
absolutely
kind of slanted. So, I mean, I know like in Mississippi, there's a concerted effort by law enforcement to outlaw kratom in Northeast Mississippi. I don't think they've had adulteration issues. I think they're just trying to outlaw it, just to control it in the state.
There's definitely places that are doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, we never know either. I mean, the things that I, you know, have heard about the whole situation and all that, that could not all be true. There could be more to it, or there could be less to it. That's just from what I've heard from my connections and the people I talk to. So,
yeah.
But I plan to go down there hopefully and find out more.
Well, that's cool. So you plan on going to talk to some of the lawmakers down there?
Yeah, I hope so. That was the plan. I actually wanted to go in October, but I ended up getting actually kind of sick after the Naperville hearing and then decided to postpone it. So the idea was just to kind of go down there. And since they're all next to each other, I was just going to head down there for a few days with somebody. And this actually, the AKA, I talked to Magneto even, and they, you know, told me that I should, and were very encouraging about it. So the idea was just to go kind of down there and just go and want to, you know, stay there for a few days and just try to go to every city that I can and talk to whoever I can.
That's awesome. So are you in, like, is there an official Illinois chapter of the AKA that you're in?
No, I am totally independent. I work with the AKA as far as I'm a consumer and advocate, but I'm not the AKA. I don't volunteer for them. We definitely did join forces on Naperville, and they came out to support Naperville, which was awesome.
Yeah.
So that we did finally meet in person, most of us, and which was awesome. So I have a good feeling with the KCPA being introduced in 22 states now next in January. That's pretty exciting. So I have a pretty good feeling about that.
So is that?
But it's definitely gonna be a fight.
So is there gonna be a national Kratom Consumer Protection Act?
Yeah, so it's basically a federal Kratom Consumer Protection Act, and it'll be 22 states I think that already filed.
Oh, really?
In the process of filing. Yeah. So it was 21, and then I think they added another one just recently. So
okay,
22,
cool.
And thankfully Illinois, my state, is part of it, and so is Missouri, which is in trouble right now. But it will be introduced in January, and then, but of course, that's a process and takes a while. So it's, again, going to likely be a fight with the, you know, not a fight, but you know what I mean, with advocates having to contact their lawmakers to vote for the hearing to educate them. So we'll have to do kind of like a 2016 all over again, but not so rushed and crazy.
Yeah. Is there, do you know if there's like a senator or a congressperson sponsoring it?
There is, yes. We do, I think, have two sponsors. One or two, I think. I definitely know we have at least one. I don't know if, I'm not positive if the AKA has said who it is or not. So I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say, but I do know we have one.
Okay. So it's kind of like under wraps.
And that's federally. So we do have a federal. And well, then we also have sponsors on the state levels.
I think there was a little bit of progress in Pennsylvania because the guy that wrote a memo out to the Pennsylvania Assembly was Mac met with him, and the guy was like, okay, I'll consider regulating it.
Yeah, I heard about that. I did hear about that. I hope. Yeah, I was really happy to hear that he was going to meet with him. I felt like that was going to help.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're on the right track there, too.
So you've been working full-time there for 3 months, you said?
Yeah, 3 months, since September. So, I was working for this job from home before, so it's been almost, it's going to be 2 years, actually, with Top Extracts in January, which is crazy. As far as full-time, yeah, I just started September 12th.
Yeah, because you weren't able to get out and work full-time forever, right?
Oh, God. Yeah, it was about five and a half years. It's going to be six that I've been in TSW in June. So I can't even explain how insane it is getting out into the world. And not just working, but everything is kind of like new again, and you're learning how to live again. It's such a strange, weird adjustment to explain. It's like, I assume that people that are in prison for a long time probably feel that way when they come out. It's just very weird. It's like I kept making sure I'm like, I don't even know how to human anymore. Like, because I was kind of like, when I first started working, it was like the stupidest thing. Just like technology's not working. Like nothing's working. Everything's just like breaking down for me. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't know how to live anymore. I'm like having a crisis over here. But at the same time, it's so exciting. So it's just like a crazy roller coaster of emotions. Well, it was a shock. I kind of leaped too fast at the beginning with Ohio and Naperville and work, and everything was at the same time, and I wasn't taking good care of myself, and I ended up getting sick and having a celiac disease flare up, and then that's why I kind of have not been as involved in advocacy in the last month or so, just because I'm taking a break and trying to take care of myself for once. But it really kind of, it takes a, I just kind of went from 0 to 150 overnight. And
yeah.
Then my body kind of forced me to slow down. So.
Yeah. That was a lot of, that, I just remember because I interviewed you like right then. And then you.
Yeah, it was like
about,
right before that, before Ohio, I think.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh man, that's a lot. Just from being able to get a full-time job from not having one is a lot, is enough.
Right, but, and then, you know, doing, I had to buy a car, and then I actually had an accident right after I got the car, and was sick at the same time, and had the Naperville, all this stuff going on at the same time, so it was just, I completely, you know, drained myself, but... a very important lesson came out of that, and that's that I really need to take care of myself as well, which you'd think I would have learned a while ago, but I'm just one of those people. It's very, like, I've always wanted to help other people, and so much so that it becomes an issue for myself.
Yeah.
So in the last month or so, I've just been kind of like, I'm just going to take care of myself and live this life that I've been fighting for forever, because I finally have it.
Yeah, that's great.
But it's definitely scary. It's scary and exciting at the same time.
So, oh, when are you going down to the Illinois towns? You said the end of January?
I'm hoping to go in January when the KCPA is introduced, because then that kind of gives me another argument. You know, if I go into the legislature's opposite and I say, well, you know, Illinois introduced the KCPA, then I can at least have them, you know, be watching that. And then reversing those bans that did go through would be a lot easier if the KCPA passes.
Yeah.
It actually made sense to wait until January.
So what exactly are you going to do? So if somebody else wanted to do this in their state, what is your plan for what to do? Are you going to call, write these representatives and then try to set up a meeting?
Yeah, and I actually, speaking of that, so we did a top extract, which is something really cool, and we made a local advocacy kit for people. So if you go on our website and the blog, there's a kit that's made by me, actually, that you can go on there, and it has instructions on basically what you should do if you feel like there's a ban or a ban pops up in your local county, what you should do, what you should say in your email, how to request a meeting, and then even documents to print out to take to them. Everything is in there, so it's kind of awesome. I could just kind of send that to people now, and it's a really good guide, and I'll be adding more stuff onto it. But so essentially the first thing you really want to do, I mean, anybody really should be going to educate their lawmakers even before a ban happens, because in my opinion, a lot of people have said that, oh, maybe we don't want to bring it up to them and put it on their radar. But the thing is that it's already on their radar. It's all over the media. It's been everywhere. So
yeah.
If a bill crosses my representative's desk, I want him to know what it is when it crosses his desk. You know, if it does, I want him to know exactly what he's looking at. So my suggestion is definitely for people to be more proactive and send an email, send a meeting request, follow up, be persistent, get involved in their campaigns, ask the lawmakers what you can do for them when election time comes around.
Yeah,
that's really important for them. Things like that. There's very small things that you can kind of enact, you know, to be more involved. So.
That's a great idea. I mean, that's just in general a good idea with everything. I think if somebody's passionate about this kratom issue, it will eventually, you know, maybe there's something else that comes up and you know what to do now. And it's I'll definitely link to that activist kit. It's on the Top Extracts website.
Yeah, there's a blog, and then there's a file in it where it's basically just a drive that I put everything on, and I'm adding stuff on it if I need to and things like that. So I just thought of that as, like, it's a very simple advocate kit. It's basically, like, anybody can follow it to get it, because it's actually very difficult to get people to do things physically.
Yeah.
So when we, you know, do our calls to action on social media and over the internet, it's all very hard. It's all very fast, and seems like there's so many people because it's much easier to sit there and write an email, right? Which,
yeah,
even that is apparently really hard for some people, and they don't do it. But but it's, like, you know, 1,000 times harder to actually get somebody to show up in person and do something.
Yeah, so yeah, we definitely need people to be politically active, which,
yes,
is a good message,
yes,
but I haven't done anything yet either, so don't listen to me, listen to Nina. But actually, that gives me a good idea, because you're right about it, because we haven't had any problems here. I mean, there's kratom, you know, the Pittsburgh City Council, I live in the city of Pittsburgh, and we haven't had any problems, but I really should talk to my representative, because they're going to get the information from somewhere, or even, like, if you know your local sheriff or something, because they get these drug things emails, mm-hmm, from different departments or federal departments, and they look at them and they have no reason to disbelieve them. And if we're citizens, so it's like, you know, their job is to hear from us. That's part of their job.
And really just, I mean, creating a connection with them in general is just very important. I mean, if I didn't create the connection that I did, I'll say this, there was one amazing councilman in Naperville, and if I did not create the connection that I did with him, I don't think we would have won that fight, to be honest, because that was one of the most important driving forces of it. Basically, he told me what the best thing to do was. You know, he advised me, and he guided me the whole time, and really making that connection with him. I kept in touch with him, you know, all year, him and then another couple representatives as well, who were really awesome too.
Yeah.
I didn't get to meet with, like, two of them. I never got responses, but thankfully we still won 9-0. but there were two that I never got to meet with one-on-one before those meetings, but it happens. You know, you just got to try to meet as many as you can.
And you must feel better after you do that, too. It's like, because...
It's an accomplishment. And, you know, even if you lose, you know, quote-unquote, in a city or whatever, I don't think it should discourage people from trying, because at least you can say you tried and you didn't, you know, didn't go down without kicking first. Because that's kind of my rule. It's like, I just want to try, and if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. But
yeah.
But I want to try and do, because that is my passion. I care about it. So it feels like I can contribute to society by doing that. I wish more people were more active as far as actual activists.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I mean, it's good to complain and write them and complain on Twitter and stuff like that, which I do. And, you know, that's fine, just so they hear you like that. And that's good, and it helps. But, I it does really help. And when you meet somebody face-to-face, they see a human being. They don't see a druggie or whatever they think, or whatever they might think about somebody that uses Kratom. You could even say, hey, I just drank Kratom before I came here. Look at me. You know?
It's completely different. I mean, one of the councilmen wanted to try Kratom after we talked to him, and he went to the head shop. I was actually going to bring him some Kratom, but he actually went to the head shop, and he bought a brand to try himself because he was interested, and that happens too. No, I personally don't suggest, like, giving out just samples to random, you know, lawmakers, but if they ask, of course, then, you know, that's a different story. But it's definitely different in person. And I think with social media and the internet, we forget how powerful human interaction really is and human connection, because we're constantly just on the screens. And of course, I'm guilty of that too. I mean, I've been on social media for a long time, but we all forget that how to actually interact with people in person, and that creates an even bigger connection at times, you know, not to invalidate any, you know, connection that's long distance, but it's just a little bit different when you go into their office and you actually tell them the story. I mean, I literally cried in every single meeting that I went to,
because
just telling my story, because it was so difficult.
Yeah.
And they really listened. They were all supportive. They were all very compassionate. I mean, they were all great. And the thing is that people get scared to go, they get nervous, but the reality is, to be honest, these lawmakers, they actually, I think, find it kind of refreshing when people are nervous to see them, because they're constantly dealing with lobbyists and, you know, business people. So when you get in there and you're just honest, which I just would come in there and I would just be like, I'm sorry, this is my first time doing this. I'm really nervous. So, like, that's the first thing I would pretty much say, just to get it out of the way. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know, but people get scared, but they're human too, you know, and it's kind of refreshing for them.
Yeah, especially if they're your local representative. They are just people that decide to run for office. They're not necessarily, they're not necessarily have money funneling to them from, you know, the Exxon or something.
Right. I mean, like one of the biggest things we heard at Naperville, to be completely honest, was literally these lawmakers would tell us how, you know, that's their part-time job, and, you know, they have families and they have this and that. And when this Kratom issue was brought up, they were kind of like, well, this is way above my pay grade, because they're not medical professionals, they're not scientists, they're not... I mean, we literally heard that from most of the board, was like, this is not our job, which is actually pretty commendable for them to say that, because a lot of villages do think it's that they should cut it out, and even though they're not professionals, you know.
Yeah.
But Naperville actually wanted to hear from professionals, so we got Jeff Henningfield there, and we had doctors email them and such. So the fact that they even wanted to do that is awesome. Yeah, the one-on-one meetings are really what makes, like, a huge difference.
Yeah.
When you can really set them down face-to-face and tell them, you know, everything, and talk to them and ask them, first of all, what they know. Because, you know, when I walk into a meeting, that's the first thing I ask. I say, well, what do you know about Kratom? Because I want to have an idea and gauge their knowledge and what I need to touch on. So if they say, oh, I know nothing, then I know to just start with the basics, you know. So I think it's really important to talk to them that way. But it's also important to go to the city council meetings, because people have this idea that if you go to a city council meeting or like a hearing, you have to testify, and you really don't. You can just show up and be a body, and it helps.
Yeah.
Just like when I went to Naperville and I had people stand up, those people didn't have to speak, but the fact that they stood up and they saw, oh, this is affecting more than just one person, that's a big reason why we won. Because I'm legitimately taking like a break, like a long break. I need it.
Were you just getting like contacted constantly? Was that the problem?
Yeah, I mean, that was one of them. I was literally getting like 50 messages every 2 minutes and hundreds of notifications every 5 minutes. And I actually had gotten in an accident about a month ago. And it wasn't because I was on the phone or anything like that. But what it was that I was stressing out about something that was going on in the Kratom community and the social media world. And it was a huge wake-up call for me.
Yeah.
And literally after that accident, I just deleted everything. And I have felt so much better since. It's insane.
Was that like a car accident or something?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Sorry to hear that.
I mean, it's thankfully everybody was okay. So no physical injuries or anything. But
It's just always a pain in the ass.
I just kind of realized that I've been giving away all this energy to everybody and anybody I could for 5 years over social media, and you know, not giving it to myself.
Yeah.
And now that I finally have this life that I've been fighting for, time to actually live it. And it's insane how much, to be honest, how much stepping away from social media I can do. It's crazy. I always knew, you know, it's not good to be on there a lot and stuff. But since I was in bed for 5 years, I was always on there. That was my life, really.
Yeah.
I didn't have any friends. You know, I had my parents, but nobody else came to visit me. I didn't have friends. I didn't have things to do. So I was always on there. And now that I started working, I realized that it was really an issue. And, you know, I didn't have focus. I didn't have any energy because I was constantly, you know, feeling obligated to reply to everybody and to answer everybody's questions. And being that I was so involved in both the TSW and Kratom community, it was just constant questions of people needing things. And, you know, as soon as I stepped away, it was like my energy has improved, my mood has improved, my focus has improved. It's like everything is just getting better every day. It's crazy how much it can do, because you don't realize it when you're like attached to it like I was during those 5 years, you know.
Yeah.
You don't realize like how bad it is until you fully take a step back, and then you're like, wow, this is actually scary how people are living in a virtual reality, literally. It's actually kind of scary, you know.
Yeah, I definitely get social media stress. Definitely.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's bad. I did not realize, to be honest, how bad it was stressing me out until I stepped away, and then everything changed. And now I really don't plan on going back anytime soon, to be honest. Just like a week or two ago, I had heard that somebody said something about me, like leaving the community and like giving up and something like that, that somebody said. And it's like, I was thinking about it, I'm like, no, just because I like deactivated my Facebook doesn't mean I can't advocate. Like, I don't need to have Facebook to advocate, you know what I mean? Like, I'm still here. I'm still doing my work. I've just been taking a little break, and I plan to be totally gung-ho again in January. So,
yeah.
I'm not going anywhere.
Oh, I know you're not. That goes back to the thing about meeting your representatives in person versus just doing social media advocacy. It's more important.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why it was kind of funny to me when somebody said that, you know, on Facebook, because it was like, people advocated for a lot of things before social media. I mean, it's not like we've had social media for like, you know, millions of years. I mean, it definitely does help in the fact that you can network, but you can also do things without that. It's not like you have to be on there.
I'll probably go to my representative too, because if nothing else, it'll give me something to write about.
You should. You can always start with your district rep. They're much easier to get a meeting with. So
yeah. She actually, my city rep lives right in my neighborhood, so I'll, you know, make
friends with their neighbor. So why haven't you done something by now?
No. I don't know.
Just going to scold you a little bit while we're on
proactive.
Here.
Because
yeah, we actually are. My boss Jim had commented on one of the city council members and here in Lyle, where our office is, on one of his posts on Facebook or something, and somehow got to talking, and he actually is going to end up coming to our office to talk about Kratom. So
cool.
Pretty cool. So it just happens just like that.
I'll do that with the Pittsburgh City Council. You know what? That's my 2020 resolution. I'll make that right now.
If you do that New Year's resolution, I'll hold you to it.
Okay, yeah. Keep me up to date on... Actually, the way you can nag me about it is when you go to that, just tell me about it, and then I can write about it, and then I can, like, remember that I told you I'd do that.
Oh, okay. I see what you're doing there. All right.
Remind me.
Yeah.
No, I'll do it. I will do it. Thank you, Nina Iden. For more information on all things Kratom and Nina's backstory, see KratomScience.com. Intro music was Memories of Thailand by Risey. Outro music is a 1914 recording of Auld Lang Syne by Prince's Band. Not that Prince. From all of us at Kratom Science, Happy New Year. And take care.